Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting. And terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM. Because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.
The main concern is that these chemical weapons, like we talked about yesterday, falling into the hands of these dang terrorists. Overnight, by the way, it sounds like Israel tried to destroy every single chemical weapons facility that Syria had. Well, welcome back for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. My name is Matt Tardio. This gentleman right here is Robert Turkla. And today's episode is being sponsored by Oracle and Ghostbed. Even if you think it's a bit overhyped, AI is suddenly everywhere, from self-driving cars to molecular medicine to business efficiency. If it's not your industry yet, it's coming fast. But AI needs a lot of speed and computing power, so how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a blazing fast and secure platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, plus your AI and machine learning workloads. OCI costs 50% less for compute and 80% less for networking. So you're saving a pile of money. Thousands of businesses have already upgraded to OCI, including MGM Resorts, Specialized Bikes, and Fireworks AI. Right now, Oracle is offering to cut your current cloud bill in half if you move to OCI. For new U.S. customers with minimum financial commitment, offer ends 12/31/24. See if your company qualifies for this special offer at oracle.com/STT. That's oracle.com/STT. Rob, before we even kick this sucker off, how about we go back and look at the last 10 days and what actually led to this? This is just a time lapse over the last 10 days of how quickly these terrorists have moved on Syria. You ready for this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's
without any help, of course, right?
Yeah, no help whatsoever. Yeah, wow. Couldn't have possibly been, any type of coup or government intervention by the United States. I highly doubt it. Even if, I don't know, man, say, I don't know, maybe over inside of Russia today at the Syrian embassy, they're already raising the new flag. Do you think maybe that would... What do you think, man? You think they had any help on this?
No, I think they've been held at bay for 14 years or so. And then all of a sudden they just exploded into this crazy special forces type terrorist organization to take over the country. That's exactly what happened.
I'll tell you what else doesn't surprise me, Rob. Remember Al Jilani, the guy that we were talking about that used to be like the main leader over inside of ISIS that now is leading this resistance movement over inside of Syria? Yeah. Well, yeah. Guess who gave their dang victory speech at a mosque over inside of Damascus?
The irony.
I don't think we need to listen to his rhetoric, but I think the people at home get the point. When I said yesterday, when we did this live session, what I called him, like white labeled, rebranded ISIS being sold to US freedom fighters.
I want you to go look at what I just sent you in the doc. Go to the very top of the page. It's going to be very telling for the people. It's so funny because the U.S. Embassy Syria in 2017 literally had a $10 million reward that said, stop this terrorist. And then CNN, like last week, actually 3 days ago, Syrian rebel leader says goal is to overthrow Assad regime. 8 years ago, stop this terrorist, up to $10 million reward. And now, I'm sorry, from terrorist to Syrian rebel, la, 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 la. It is kind of funny.
People don't believe me when I say he's ISIS. And like that whole dang movement is nothing but a bunch of terrorists. It's so ridiculous, man. Thank you.
It is funny, is it not?
It's freaking scary, man. It's scary that people are that ridiculous in this world that they go, oh, he's a resistance fighter now. Like, oh, yeah. Right, because Assad and him both can't be bad, right? Like one of them's got to be good. The other one's got to be bad. Like
this goes back to if X and Y are fighting and X and Y are enemies, why not just let them fight? But now you're going to have to deal with X because they just took over Y.
You're going to have to do it. Yeah. X took over Y. So what do we have here? It was like Russians that are over there, or a Russian speaking freedom fighter that's over there. Yeah. Speaking to the Russian people. Yeah. Congratulations. Good job. Good job. You know, it's like actually probably one of the craziest things about like all of this when we start saying that they couldn't have had any help from anywhere else. There's no possible way they had help. They just held them at bay for how long? 13, 14 years. And now magically in 10 days, they overtake the entire country. Assad flies out and everything else.
So Putin's not even taking a meeting from what I could find. That's what I'm reading, at least with Assad right now. So if he wasn't inside of Russia, took that flight with his family, he probably wouldn't be alive right now. Honestly, we probably would have seen some stuff like we saw back in 2012. I think 2011, maybe 2013. I think it was 2013, actually, excuse me, when the ISIS fighters came into Syria and they were actually beheading people on camera. Remember that? I think it was 2013.
Yeah, but I don't know how you can forget, because not only were they beheading people on camera, they were also putting people in cages, lighting them on fire, putting people in cages, drowning them after lighting them on fire, and all sorts of ridiculous stuff. Absolute insanity. And these are the people now that are running the country. But you know how Putin's not taking a meeting with Assad, and how these fighters managed to just randomly expand so quickly? Here's a video of all of the Assad forces, uniforms, weapons, and stuff that were just discarded, laid down, and the people ran away. How creepy is that? So they fought against these terrorists for years. And again, Assad and his guys are no better. But they fought against them for years, and now they just abandoned everything. What does that remind you of?
Well, it reminds me of pretty much the entire Middle East for the last 20 years.
Right.
We just keep seeing the same thing over and over and over again. We come in, we topple a government, we try to put somebody else in, it doesn't work.
Yeah, that to me seems to be what's going on here. And unfortunately, I don't know why you would do this right now. Oh, good. They rigged it with a grenade. I don't know why you would do this right now.
That's super random.
You saw that, well, didn't you?
Yeah, everybody. Hey, guys, don't open this door. There's a grenade on the door.
Like, what's in there? Ugh, man. No, I think what that is the backside of a door. And so they're inside of this area. That's the backside of a door. So if they would have forced it open, then the grenade would have popped when they went in the room. I mean, but
it is kind of weird. Once again, we're kind of funding both sides. I know we haven't talked about it yet, but on the northern side of the country, Turkey has came in to Syria. I can't remember off the top of my head which town or city they took.
It was north of Aleppo. They came in like north of Aleppo, sort of going a little to the east. Yeah.
But they were starting to actually and getting clashes and fighting with U.S.-backed Kurdish forces, which is it's the weirdest thing ever. We're back to that same scenario where it's that meme of the Spider-Man pointing at each other right now. That's what Syria is currently.
It's not really the weirdest thing ever, though, when you kind of understand that the Kurdish forces are all labeled as terrorists by Turkey. And there is like, I think to me what the most troubling part about it is, like, yeah, sure, we're working with them over inside Syria, but we also discarded them in Iraq. And they were the main ones that were getting like the crap kicked out of them by Saddam Hussein. They were the ones that got gas. They're just this disenfranchised group up there. And what is it? They're like mostly Christian, right? It's not that they don't have any Muslims like amongst them, but mostly they're Christian. And remember yesterday too, we had talked and I had said, Israel needs to worry because the next spot they're coming to is Judea and Samaria. I'm pretty sure I said that verbatim. That is going to be their next stop, right? Like, this is not good. And here we have a nice little translated version of that. I see a lot of overcompensating in that video, in my opinion, number one. Number two, there is a much longer version of that video in which they specifically, like, they are like our next target, Judea and Samaria. Like, they are going for the Golan Heights and they're going for the West Bank, which is why Israel has moved to make some of the protective measures in which it has. So this up on the screen, these yellow lines, remember when we were talking about Netanyahu yesterday and he was like, yeah, there's a buffer zone in the agreement and stuff like that. And so you're supposed to, that's what these yellow lines represent on here. So on red, you've got, on red over here, you've got like the terror occupied areas of Syria. Then you can see the dotted line, which would be the Golan Heights, which kind of runs down this area right here. And then this is the buffer space. So what the blue represents all of the areas that Israel has currently moved into and what they're doing. And so we have some construction videos. We have some other like on the ground footage of Israeli troops that are moving in there. I didn't really see a lot of armor. All I ended up seeing was like a couple other things, but like now Israeli forces are basically flooding in there. Also overnight, by the way, it sounds like Israel tried to destroy every single chemical weapons facility that Syria had. We've got videos of some of these airstrikes and stuff here in just a little bit, but every single chemical weapons facility, because the main concern is that these chemical weapons, like we talked about yesterday, falling into the hands of these dang terrorists. Do you find yourself staying up late thinking about all of the powerful stories from Speak the Truth? If restless nights are your norm, it might be time to stop blaming the podcast and start looking at your mattress. I can't recommend Ghost Bed enough, especially the Ghost Bed Lux, also known as the coolest bed in the world. Its advanced cooling layers, like the Ghost Ice Cover, keep me cool all night long, and the comfort is unmatched. If you're a hot sleeper, the Lux is a total game changer. Ghostbed has been perfecting sleep for over 20 years with mattresses designed to help you fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and wake up refreshed. Whether you're a side sleeper, back sleeper, or somewhere in between, Ghostbed has a mattress for you. With their 101-night sleep trial, you can try it completely risk-free. With fast, free shipping, your new mattress could be at your door in just 2 to 5 days. Right now, Ghostbed is offering Speak the Truth listeners 50% off site-wide. Just visit ghostbed.com/Rob and use code Rob at checkout. Don't wait. Upgrade your sleep and wake up ready to tackle the truth. That is ghostbed.com/Rob with code Rob for 50% off. Sweet dreams. Now, I don't want to say it's surprising to me that that's what they have to be concerned about, is these terrorists getting a hold of chemical weapons and coming after them. But what's surprising to me is that that was not even referenced in Joe Biden's speech yesterday when he was talking about it being a great day for the Syrian people and all sorts of crap. What you've got up on your screen over here is actual videos of the Israeli Defense Force moving in and securing that buffer zone on the other side of the Golan Heights up over inside Syria. So they're establishing their new front line. They actually started digging in. I've seen backhoes and all sorts of crap up there, like digging out actual trenches to prevent vehicles and stuff, just in case they have that massive flood, which is perfect. Great idea. That will actually slow down. Yeah, like, do you know about tank traps, Rob?
Tank tracks?
Tank traps. T-R-A-P-S.
You're talking about just the holes they dig or the trenches they dig?
Yeah, it's basically just you basically make like a 90-degree cut in the earth of where it comes out so the tank can't get over it. And it's a giant tank trap. I mean, it's pretty simple, pretty rudimentary, but they do work. So it looks like Israel is essentially what you would call in like military terms over there, digging out like tank traps and stuff. In addition to all of that, Israel's also secured Mount Hermon, which looks absolutely freezing cold. And I'm really glad I'm not up there, to be perfectly honest with you. That looks miserable. And dude, could you imagine being on that? It's just the wind that is good. You can see the freaking snow blowing across the top. Like, screw that. That is not where I would be in life.
I'm out on that thing. It's actually 9,232 feet above sea level.
Woo!
And this is the highest peak in the buffer zone that's been controlled and guarded by UN soldiers since 1974.
Controlled by UN soldiers. Are these the same ones that were controlling the area so over inside of Lebanon? Just
throwing that one out there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so just so everybody's aware, there is like all the way down at the bottom, this is what I'm talking about with them digging out the tank traps, everything like that, being prepared for it. It's just a little bit of B-roll. There's no need for you guys to get too drawn into it, but Israel's over there doing good things, trying to take care of it. Now, as Israel is doing all of that, attempting to take care of themselves, guess who's really pissed off? Egypt.
Oh, shocking. Why would Egypt not be?
Because now they're occupying Syria. Now Israel's occupying Syria. And if nobody can understand the ridiculousness of like the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and everybody saying they're occupying at this point, like, let this be a lesson to you. You have like literally tens of thousands of jihadists that are pouring through Damascus, getting literal weapons of mass destruction and riding on Israel, shouting that they're going to do it. Israel goes and secures a buffer zone because the Syrian government collapsed. And Egypt now says that they are occupying Syria. The next video that I'm about to throw up there, dude, is the only one that I could find of what is being claimed to be Israel going after the chemical weapons facilities over inside of Syria. Last night, in a series of airstrikes, it said that Israel took out all of their chemical weapons facilities, allegedly. This is the only video that I could find that allegedly shows a strike on one of those chemical weapon sites. There is lots of different airstrike videos and stuff that are out there, but this is the one that's alleging that this was a chemical weapon site that ended up getting hit. I've got no way of confirming that right now. It's just open source information, throwing it out there for the guys and gals. But it does go in line with what I would be expecting and what I talked about yesterday for Israel to be doing. So, Rob, you remember the prisons I put up on the screen yesterday and how they were going through? Yeah. You remember all that?
Oh, yeah. I've seen a few videos of the breaking out of these prisons lately.
Yeah. Have you seen how confused they are inside of the prison system, though?
No, I've not seen that.
So they are like literally had to pull up the blueprints. So what they ended up finding, and I think I've got a video of it coming up here after this one, is just a bunch of CCTV cameras that show all of these different cells with a bunch of like jihadists that are like captured in them. And they're trying to figure out how to get to the cells, but they don't know where they're located inside of the prison. And so they're like poring over blueprints. They're like just running around these things left and right, trying to figure out how to get these jihadists out. Now, when you look at what's actually taking place here, right, like on the screen and the videos that we showed yesterday, that's nothing but a bunch of freaking men shouting Allahu Akbar, right? When we show those videos, it's pretty clear on who the people are that are being held in those prisons. When you talk to people on the pro-freedom fighter side, they will tell you that it's nothing but a bunch of women and children and family members that are being held in there and that everybody just wants to get their family members back.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I did see a it's funny you actually bring this up. I saw a video this morning of a guy who apparently was released from prison from being there for 35 years or 30 years, whatever it said. And he got to finally see his kids, but they were now at the grave. It was like a big thing. I don't know. Like he was over there hugging their grave site or their tomb. Mm-hmm. What's that thing called? Their headstone.
Yep.
And the first thing that came to my mind was, what did you have to do to be put in prison for the last 35 years or 30 years, whatever it was?
Well, you never know over there, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Like, let's be fair. In the Middle East, people get thrown into prison for some wild stuff. Like over inside of Iran, for example, if you convert from Islam to Christianity, you might get thrown in an underground prison system where you get raped and tortured until you decide to convert back to Islam. That's a thing. So. Yeah. I guess you never know what they go in there for, but let's be honest. If he was in there, he probably did some horrible stuff against like Assad. Now, Assad's not a good dude. He could have eased like, look, there's a million different things, but the fact that these are these fighters are zeroed in on this prison, because there's prisons all over Syria, right? But this prison system within itself, and I want you to take a look at these CCTV cameras and like what they're looking at over in there. Like these are their little hardcore jihadist cells that they're after. Right. Like the level of security that's on this versus what you would think of a typical prison over in Syria is completely and totally different. So this is what I would picture, what I'm viewing as kind of like, what the hell do we call it? Our Gitmo.
Dude, it reminds me of some Saw movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of looks like to me.
Yeah. But the good news is that up on the rooftop, people are still walking around and enjoying their time on the rooftop of the prison. As they're attempting to figure out how the hell to get in there. So this is a view from the rooftop of that very same prison. It doesn't really look like much from the outside. I was kind of shocked to see that level of stuff that's in there, but it's got some pretty dang thick walls. It looks, I mean, dude, it's a prison. That is a no BS prison that they're inside. Then you look at like where it's scattered, where it's at, terrain around it, everything else. Like that's a prison, bro. So, up in the northern portion of Syria, believe it or not, all of the people that have been fleeing across the border. And do you remember the videos from years ago of people that were pouring across the Syrian border when ISIS first started kicking off? And it was like babies and kids that were going by themselves. And it was a huge problem. It was a big, big problem. But now that these people have taken over and Assad's out of power, all of these people are now comfortable going back in there. And it's just a, let me turn that down. It's just a big line at the freaking border going from like Turkey back down into Syria. It's everybody is just like, oh, cool. Assad's gone. We're back in. And they're pouring back down and going in there. But earlier, and the way it was described to me by like a couple of the guys that like would process these things up over on the front line, right? So like the U.S. forces that were up along the border and stuff, you would end up having a bunch of just individuals basically that were like walking in these giant trains to go get the hell out and try to go get asylum when all this stuff started kicking off. And probably one of the most like disturbing parts was that you would have the kids who are walking by themselves and then families would just adopt them and then take them back across the border and so on and so forth. The crazy part about it is this has been going on for so long that some of those kids that got adopted are likely adults now standing in that line waiting to go back across the border.
That is kind of crazy, actually.
Now, remember how I told you they're going to be coming after the Christians and the Kurds. I feel like I said this, that Christians and Kurds, get ready for a fight. They're going to be coming after you. I feel like I stated that yesterday. And wouldn't you know it, videos have already started to emerge. And I don't know if you guys heard what he was saying. What he means by that, and I'm pretty sure what I heard him say was kafir or coffee, kafir. It is an unbeliever, basically somebody that doesn't believe in Islam. So that's what they're doing is beating on the back of them and stating that. If you guys need to replay it again so you can hear it, I will. But that's my main concern right now is the Kurds and the Christians up in the north just getting rid on that freaking hard. As a matter of fact, I said I would be surprised if they last that long up there. This is in Deir ez-Zor, right? It is where the PKK and the YPG, right, have like a nice big base. Look how it looks today. This is them up here. This is their like consulate, if you will. These are all of the people demanding they leave. Here's what I would suggest. If you're in the north of that country, you got about 30 days. I really suggest you guys can hold out that long. If not, I would go into any of those banks that are now being raided, and I would get as much gold and silver as possible because they're about to establish a brand new Islamic caliphate, and your butt is about to pay a jizya. So also the Syrian Democratic Forces, i.e. the Kurds, and the Free Syrian Army, i.e. the rebranded white-labeled ISIS fighters, are now clashing up in the north. And I mean, they are clashing hard. The dish got mounted on that turret. So yeah, I think it was 2 days ago we talked about like the Kurds that were getting pushed out, and we showed the video of it, or maybe that was on Friday, the video of the Kurds being blasted out to go out there and do that. But yeah, they, I mean, they're in heavy, deep clashes over there right now. So we'll see how it turns out for them. Hopefully the United States government pulls their head out of their butt, starts conducting airstrikes on their behalf, and we still have operators on the ground. They're going to help to direct those airstrikes to get these bastards pushed back. Now, as the Kurds are advancing across the country, this is exactly how they're being treated. Literal Kurdish vehicles driving through this sucker. You have people throwing a bunch of rocks and everything else at them, trying to get them to freaking stop. Obviously, they're not going to slow down. Otherwise, they're going to die. And then you hear a bunch of celebratory gunfire. Everybody's really excited. I'm telling you right now, the Kurds is a dark-looking future if the United States government doesn't pull its head out of its butt quick, fast, in a hurry. Do you have anything else there, Mr. Robert?
No, I'm just looking. There's just so much.
Yeah.
God bless. There's a lot of video, like a lot of video of ISIS flags being, they've Al-Qaeda, ISIS, all of them. They pretty much have won at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys hopping over here with us today. There's probably going to be a lot more stuff rolling out over the next 24 to 48. God, next couple of weeks. Who knows? These wars apparently inside of this area are just not ever going to stop. So appreciate you guys hanging out with us today. We'll catch you guys tomorrow with another episode.
At Care Heating and Cooling, we put you first. You are the reason we're open 7 days a week and why it's easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Your safety is why we check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. And it's because of you that our techs are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So it's no surprise that last year, Care was awarded a BBB Torch Award for ethics, because at Care, we're committed to doing business right. Call Care at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.